news, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning and happy Friday, Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. You can hit the text line, let us know what's going on at 343-0106. Also, we're turning up your voice later on this hour. Same telephone line, right?
Yeah, we'll be talking, I'm sure, vaccine mandates. Also, of course, the 20th anniversary of 9/11 coming up tomorrow.
343-0106. Right now, it's time for Football Fridays with Feinbaum, brought to you by Brian Bank with Paul Feinbaum. And Paul's on the line right now. Good morning.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Hey, we're doing great here at the Palatial FM Talk 106.5 studios, Paul. But a lot to get into. Already week one is in the books, heading into week two tomorrow with so many games, including our first SEC matchup of the season. But let's talk about where it all begins and Alabama looking like the class of not just the SEC, but the nation once again.
Yeah, they didn't really leave much doubt Saturday. And, you know, people can quibble about the opponent, but I mean, it was a ranked team, was better than most teams play on opening weekend. And it really didn't matter. Alabama was as close to perfection as I have seen them. And it starts with Bryce Young. We talked about how great the defense needed to be. He was brilliant in his first start. And in all my years of covering college football, I've never seen a guy after his first start already be the Heisman frontrunner. Mm.
Immediately. It's like, okay, another year, and guess who has cast little doubt as to who's the best team in college football. We're one week in, Paul, and already Alabama somehow has made it clear we're the bully in the room again.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a tremendous surprise, but I think it was really the way they played. I just didn't expect them to look that complete. I mean, they frankly looked unbeatable, and I've talked to people all week who are really just saying, forget the season, give Alabama the trophy. I'm not probably going that far, because I think Alabama still has a difficult schedule. A week from Saturday in Gainesville and 6 weeks from now in College Station. That's as tough a challenge as anyone's going to see, but Alabama will be double-digit favored. It's probably in both games.
Yeah, and, you know, we're seeing the same old Nick Saban this week as he gets after the team for not showing the preparation he feels they need to show with Mercer coming up this Saturday. But they looked great against number 14 Miami, I mean the 14th ranked team in the nation going in. Let's talk a little bit about Auburn in game one with Brian Harsin. Now, it was just Akron, but I think they looked about as good as any Auburn fan would want to see in week one.
Yeah, it's always difficult to evaluate games against just pathetic opposition. So you forget the opposition and you worry about, well, how do you look? And they look good, especially Bo Nix, who, you know, people have loved to beat up like he's a pinata at the birthday party. And, you know, he shook all that off. He executed. Yeah, does it matter a lot? I don't know. It probably won't matter much this week either. It will matter next week when they get to Penn State. But the point being, they will have gotten some games under their belt under a new system. So I feel pretty good about Auburn right now.
Paul, what are your people in Auburn telling you about this coach, about this coaching staff, about this coaching style? We saw the results in week one, but you know, behind the scenes, what are you hearing?
I hear a lot of good things about Brian Harsin, and you know, Gus Malzahn did some good things. He beat Nick Saban three times, but the program had gotten stale. He was very boring on offense, and I think fans wanted to see more, and I think the players on the team were eager to see more. And, you know, with Mike Bobo on the offensive side and Derek Mason on the defensive side, I think you have two very solid coordinators, both former head coaches who failed, but are good coordinators. And, yeah, ultimately we'll know in a week or two. I think, I mean, not only is there Penn State, but you know, there's Georgia in a couple of weeks, and obviously everyone that Auburn always plays, including Alabama at the end of the year. So I never want to ask fans, hey, don't get excited because we spent 6 months getting ready for the season, and after 1 week, people like me are saying, no big deal, let's wait till next week. I mean, there are only 12 games in a season, so you take it step by step. But I felt like Auburn exceeded expectations if you're grading on the curve.
We're talking with Paul Feinbaum on Football Fridays with Feinbaum here on FM Talk 106.5. And, of course, you can catch the Paul Feinbaum show 2 to 6 right here on this station every weekday. And, Paul, you've gotten a lot of calls this week, of course, from Happy Dogs fans. They got it done against Clemson, the only top five matchup this week. But what a defensive masterpiece, really, on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, it was a game from almost the 50s or 60s we were watching Saturday night. And I know because it was the biggest game of the day and you overanalyze, Georgia fans are worried about their offense, Clemson fans are worried, period. But I think that's the kind of game you don't really care whether you win 3-2 or 50-40. You go in there and you accomplish what you needed. I didn't hear anybody complaining 10 years ago when LSU and Alabama met in a 9-6 game. It was one of the most combustive games I've ever seen. And no one's going to care at the end of the season. The real problem, though, is that Clemson has dug itself a hole that they may not be able to get out of. They're in a terribly inferior league, and that loss hurt them badly. Georgia probably could have afforded to lose. Now that Georgia has won, we start getting into the, well, are they going to run the table and get to the playoffs? The answer is probably they are. Mm.
Yeah, probably, but it's a long season to go, Paul, and things can happen along the way. I've never heard a team get beat up so bad after a big win as Georgia with the lack of offense. It's like, well, they did beat a top five team.
They did, and I think you expect that. It doesn't happen that often because you really don't get these type of matchups until either the SEC championship game or maybe the Alabama LSU game or Auburn game or the playoffs. But that's as good a matchup as you'll see all year. And I think when you have months to prepare, you're not looking over your shoulder. So yeah, I mean, I doubt anybody could walk well after the game. But the good news for both is that, well, I say good news, Georgia has UAB this week, which is a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see what happens there as a kind of a letdown spot for the Bulldogs. Another major topic of conversation on the Feinbaum Show has been those LSU Tigers. And odds makers knew that it would be a tight game or guessed that it would be a tight game between them and UCLA out in L.A. on Saturday. But they actually got outclassed by the Pac-12 team. Ed Orgeron, what's going on?
I think a lot's going on there, and I have friends who wanted to try to tell me how good UCLA was. Well, I don't care about that. I've been hearing for months how great LSU was going to be and how they were going to contend with Alabama, and they didn't do any of that. It was a terrible loss, and it was a bad loss too. And I mean, even more than the score, LSU was out-muscled and out. Played and out coach, and I think it's exactly the wrong way to begin a season for a coach who you would think is in great shape. It's only a year removed from a national championship, but I'm here to tell you he's not in great shape. Fans are bailing on him, media bailing on him, and if he loses a few more games, I think the administration will probably be bailing on him.
He's kind of contributing to his own demise with his personal life a little bit, isn't he?
Yeah, that's a big mystery. I tend to not to believe everything I read or see on social media, but a little bit too much has gotten out there. And even more than that, he made one comment to a fan going into the game. He called the colors of UCLA sissy blue.
Yeah.
That's funny if you win by 30 points. It's not funny when you get your teeth knocked out by the sissies.
and to kind of recap, finish the recap of week one, with Kiffin not being on the sideline Monday night against Louisville, I guess I didn't really know what to expect with him not calling the plays, but they came out and took care of business.
Yeah, I might suggest leaving him home every week. He seems to play better with him out. He really is a good coach, and I think the key to that team is Matt Corral, who's one of the better quarterbacks around. The question has been about Ole Miss. Can the defense be even average? They were pathetic last year. They look pretty good. And Ole Miss suddenly is the hot, trendy team that everyone thinks will take maybe Alabama down. I don't, but I do think they will be an upper division team this year.
not many great matchups to speak of this coming weekend. Of course, you have Alabama and Mercer. You have Auburn and Alabama State. But we do have the first SEC matchup of the year. I think Kentucky, Missouri playing each other. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about what will be a future SEC matchup. Arkansas and Texas getting it on this weekend. What do you think that means for the Texas fan base as they head into the USC in the next couple years?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I'm heading out there to Fayetteville for the weekend, and we're doing our show and doing the SEC show Saturday morning. And that is a game from the past. They haven't played regularly in 30 years. And if you're 50 plus, maybe a little older, you remember that one of the most famous games in college football history in 1969. It was so crazy that the game was moved to the end of the season. And it turned out that the two teams were 1-2, and Penn State was also undefeated. But from a historical standpoint, it's important because the president at the time, Richard Nixon, decided to go to the game and declare the winner the national champion, which upset Joe Paterno a great deal because they were undefeated as well.
Yeah, I think that even in 1969, Pennsylvania was part of the United States of America, Paul.
There's a famous book called Horns, Hogs, and Nixon's Coming, a takeoff on the famous Neil Young song. It's a game. I was in Little Rock a couple of years ago. I made a crack about the game, and 300 people went dead silent on me. I did not realize that 45 years later, or maybe 40 years later at the time, feelings were still raw about the 15-14 Texas victory.
Paul, thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it a lot.
Always a pleasure, guys.
That is Paul Feinbaum of the Paul Feinbaum Show, 2 to 6 every weekday right here on FM Talk 106.5. And so great to have him on Football Fridays like today.
It is. He's got his game on. He doesn't mail it into us. He talks to us and as he would with any guests on his show. And, of course, his show, of course, every day 2 to 6 on FM Talk 106.5, which a lot of you enjoy, and he'll be previewing all those games again today on FM Talk 106.5.
Yeah, live from Fayetteville with the Longhorns coming to town.
Pretty cool. Okay, it's brought to you by Brian. Thank you very much, Brian Bank, for arranging for us to chat with Paul Feinbaum every week. They've got branches located in Daphne and Foley, Orange Beach, and Airport Boulevard here in Mobile. So whatever branch it might be, the Brian Bankers are always friendly, ready to serve you. Brian Bank offers standard banking services such as personal and business loans, checking and investment accounts, and treasury management services, too. If you're looking for a personalized banking experience and you don't want to feel like you're just another number, Bryant Bank, there you go. That's the bank for you. At Bryant Bank, they focus solely on you. You have direct access to a banker that will work hard to understand who you are, where you're going, and how they can meet your financial needs. And if you're looking to purchase a home or refinance, Bryant Bank's experienced team of mortgage lenders, they're ready to serve you, too. Meet the team or apply for a loan online by visiting bryantbank.com/mortgage. Equal housing lender, NMLS 582-8857. My vision is failing me. That's 582-857, Bryant Bank. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, 825. Went a little bit long with Feinbaum, but Paul Feinbaum, why not, right? Let the man speak. It's Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings. So Biden is the news this morning, and it's going requirements, not mandates, I guess, talking about one quote, your refusal has cost, he told Americans that your refusal has cost us all on Thursday, talking about getting the vaccine. Here's what more of what Joe Biden, our president, had to say yesterday.
This is a pandemic of the unvaccinated, and it's caused by the fact that despite America having unprecedented and successful vaccination program, despite the fact that for almost 5 months, free vaccines have been available in 80,000 different locations. We still have nearly 80 million Americans who have failed to get the shot.
Backlash? Well, it was immediate from the Republican governors and Republican lawmakers. And beyond that, what are workers that don't want to get the vaccination going to do? What are companies that don't wish to make the, you know, go along with this requirement going to do?
Now, I've already heard from some, and I think even a couple have called in and have said that they're willing to, you know, lose their place of employment, lose their job over some of these requirements. And it's not surprising that they're trying to, I think, draw eyes off of the debacle in Afghanistan with the 20th anniversary of 9/11 coming up tomorrow. And I think at the same time, try to unite Americans with a common enemy. And yesterday he made it plain that that common enemy, that he feels the common enemy is the unvaccinated.
Yeah.
What about just the quote, protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated,
yeah,
right? What's the vaccine supposed to do?
Yeah, he drew the line right there. The unvaccinated are the enemy of the people.
Yeah, but if you're vaccinated, I mean, I understand the, you know, if the unvaccinated are filling up the hospitals, then people with other issues might have more trouble getting in. And there have been those stories over the last year and a half, but I'm not seeing very many people saying that they're not getting treatment because they can't get into hospitals. I'm just, if the vaccine is supposed to, you know, and it's been shown that in most cases, a big majority of cases, that if you're vaccinated, you're not going to see nearly as dangerous of a virus if you catch it again.
Right.
But that's the entire point, to be vaccinated, right? So why protect the vaccinated from the unvaccinated if the vaccines are doing their job?
So he also pointed out the companies and corporations that have kind of taken the lead on vaccination requirements, leaving him not to have to do that. To and within these companies, this is Biden yesterday.
Some of the biggest companies are already requiring this. United Airlines, Disney, Tyson's Food, and even Fox News. The bottom line, we're going to reduce the spread of COVID-19 by increasing the share of the workforce that is vaccinated in businesses all across America.
According to the CDC, 75.3% of the U.S. adults, I guess that's 18 plus,
mm-hmm,
have at least one coronavirus vaccine. That seems high to me.
That's the number they were shooting for, right? At least 70%, and I know they wanted fully vaccinated. But,
fully vaccinated. But again, what I talked about earlier, that says philosophically, if you've gotten one shot, and maybe then you're like, I don't want to do that again. All right, but philosophically, you've at least relented to, okay, you know, it seems like there's this wide divide. Evidently, the divide's not that wide in a lot of areas, but if three-fourths of us have gone and voluntarily gotten a shot,
mm-hmm,
that says a lot about the attitude that I don't think a division is being
They're turning people against other people.
They're turning people against each other. The division is what they're I've sensed they're trying to do. But if three-fourths of us have already gotten a shot, is the country really that divided on the issue?
Well, let's say there's 95% vaccinated. Is it going to be the 5% that everyone turns to? Like, what number will it be like, okay, well, you know.
You're on your own.
Yes, and it's just such a large federal overreach right here. You said the Republicans have already come out and said they'll fight this out in court, and I'm sure they will. And he mentioned all of these companies that have already mandated vaccines, and, you know, like those mandates or not, at least those companies did that on their own volition,
yes,
initially. Maybe peer pressure caused some of those companies to do it, but
yeah.
I want to get your take on this for sure on the text line, 343-0106.
Good point. 830 FM Talk 106.5, Dan and Dalton.
835 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. It's Friday, and heading into the weekend. I want to head over to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great, and some fantastic weather on tap for this weekend. Tell us what's going down at McConnell Automotive.
We're going to be there. We're going to have the games on TV. We're going to have some food. We're going to have a good time. I'm trying to sell a few cars, you know. Hunt season opens up this weekend in the South Zone for the dove season. We got plenty of Z71s if you're looking for that nice little hunting ride. We got plenty of them. Check out our inventory at McConnellAutomotive.com. Used car, four-wheel drive, wheel drive trucks, we've got plenty of them. You know, there is a shortage, I promise you, but fortunate. We've been getting some new trucks in and getting some great trades. So y'all can check those out. And if you got any questions, call Gene Ride, 251-476-4141. We'll try to answer them and maybe send you a video for a truck you're looking at. We can do a deal.
It sounds like a plan to me, Louie. We appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, come see us at McConnell Automotive.
There you go. That's Louis Arata. You'll find him there at McConnell Automotive, Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Could be the weather, but Louis in even a more chipper, chipper mood, wasn't he?
Chipper Louis.
So,
it seems like everyone's in a bit of a better mood today because of the weather.
It is so nice out. Just jumped out there to check it out, and as advertised, very, very nice. Dr. Bill, the weekend weather scale ended up in the 1.8s. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
He says
1.8170, I think. Or
got as low as 62 this morning.
8720, I'm sorry.
8720, okay. And same for tonight if you're going to high school football, if you've got a player on the field, if you're just a fan of the school, or if you've got a child in the band, you're going to have a nice night tonight.
Yeah.
I'm going to be at it on Old Shell Road at UMS Wright. They take on St. Paul's and the rivalry that I think they played 42 times, and the results are 21 wins for each team.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's kind of like Auburn and Georgia's rivalry over the years. Wasn't that really, really close?
It was really close for a while. I think Georgia's kind of pulled away here recently. In the last 10 years, they probably won 8 out of 10 or something like that. But for a while, it was almost like, how can that be?
Yeah.
The math was like, you know, they had about the same number of wins plus a number of ties.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that first battle between the hedges was 17-18, the first time they played there. Yeah.
Ben Franklin, he was the back judge.
Exactly. Want to talk some about the Afghanistan debacle here later in the hour, and also some audio from both Biden and Kamala Harris going directly against what Biden had to say yesterday regarding these vaccines. But first, I want to go to the phone line or to the text lines, 343-0106. Phil says, I told everyone to relax. Biden is just wagging the dog. If you noticed, he didn't have or provide any details. Why? Because it never makes it out of 5 million lawsuits. Next, our economy is already on the edge. So do these companies want to lose 40% of their workforce? Don't think so. I'm in trucking, and some are vaccinated and some aren't, and right now the supply chain's upside down. So are you going to take trucks out of the cycle? Is OSHA going to oversee this? People underestimate how many employees they have. In our region, it's a handful. He said they're going to – are they going to go business to business and verify this? Yeah, right. It's a bluff and a politics move. What's sad is that it is the worst thing to do at the worst time. Now, I believe what they laid out yesterday –
a heck of a text right there.
Yeah. What they laid out yesterday, the penalty for businesses with over 100 employees not making them get vaccinated or tested – is like a $14,000 fine per violation. And I'll shamelessly steal from Sean's Twitter feed last night as he was talking about this. Sean Sullivan, you can follow at FM Talk 106.5. And he said he predicts a lot of the businesses who are maybe right at or just over that 100-employee threshold will soon have 99 employees. Mm. So possibly people losing their jobs from this. I could see that happening. And even if they don't ensure, you know, that their employees are vaccinated, think about the costs of those tests. If you have over 100 employees, they have to be tested weekly.
Definitely punitive. They're putting you between a rock and a hard place to get you vaccinated.
Right.
So, yeah, no doubt about it. We knew that you know, we're not mandating, he's saying, but it is a requirement if you have 100 or more employees. And that is interesting to consider that if you are right around that 100 mark, how bad do you need Jeffrey in the mailroom?
Yeah. Old unvaccinated Jeffrey about to lose his job.
You're costing us all, Jeff.
Because of this ridiculousness. Jason says, according to the government, the unvaccinated are the good old boy Trump supporters. If you actually look at the breakdown racially and age-wise, it's not necessarily the case.
No,
I
would love to see the breakdown race-wise, too.
Yeah.
Which I haven't seen.
It doesn't
fit the narrative.
Chris is just saying we need to come to the beach because the weather is so great this weekend. And that's a great idea, Chris.
Yeah, really. Just give all that a rest. Watch some football, come down to the beach.
Yeah,
You know, we live near the beach. Why don't we go down there? That's not a bad idea. We've got, let's see, I think it is Jay on the line. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning. I want to thank you for having this conversation. it is getting very angry and scary for me. As far as this goes, one thing that is just really stands out is the hypocrisy on the part of the Biden administration. I am, for the most part, pro-choice. I don't think anybody's really pro-abortion, but we understand that there's these limits, and unfortunately, I view it as a necessary evil. But for him to be mandating what he's going to do to anybody's body, and on the other side of his mouth, be standing up on the abortion issue on the flip side of it, is ridiculous. And it is just so hypocritical. He has no credibility with me whatsoever. This has become a situation where the insane people are in charge of the asylum. This is ridiculous, and it is crazy.
Jay, let me ask you this.
I think that people should have a choice to have the vaccination or not.
Yeah.
So I think for the most part, it's probably good to have it. But there are people that have situations where they shouldn't have it.
Right.
And we need to be respectful of everybody. But the biggest problem I think we have at this point is this. The coronavirus at this point is everywhere. It's like the staph bacteria. It's everywhere. And the key to being successful in fighting it is to make your body strong enough naturally to overcome it, the same as it is on everything.
Right.
But please, we need to work together to fight this, go against it. Maybe we need to have a protest where everybody's health matters and take to the streets and just protest that. And perhaps at that point, if we get enough people behind it, President Biden will join the crowd. And, you know, if he can't, you know, beat them, he'll join us. Because that seems to be his logical, normal way of thinking. And we need to work together to stand up for everyone's rights. Even if you're like me and for the vaccine, everyone has a right, and we need to respect people's health and freedom to choose, regardless if we agree with that issue or not, because freedom is what has created America. And most people don't understand it. Most people don't treasure it. And that's why some people will drop their gun and bow down to the Taliban and put their women wherever the Taliban wants them rather than stand and fight. And one more thing. We should not let any able-bodied man from Afghanistan come to this country if they were not willing to fight and defend their own. We don't need that. We need people that are going to make this country better. I don't have a right to play quarterback for the Saints, you know, and they don't have a right to come to the United States if they're not going to make our team better.
Boy, good Thank point.
You. Yeah, good call there, Jay.
He put it about nine different directions, but
and he mentioned, you know, the hypocrisy there from the Biden administration, and he read my mind. Here's something. I want to play some audio here really
sure,
quickly.
Let's
was Kamala Harris yesterday. I think she's talking about the vaccine here.
About their own bodies, and needless to say, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable. The right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is their decision. It is their body.
I apologize. She was talking about Roe v. Wade there.
Yes, she was.
I thought she might have been talking about the vaccines.
No,
but
she
no,
wasn't.
No, vaccines you absolutely have to have because you unvaccinated are killing the vaccinated, according to Joe Biden. But at the same time, the right of women to make decisions about their own bodies is not negotiable. Same administration, same day.
Yeah.
Different statements.
Yes.
And
yes.
And I know there's a little
did
bit
she
of
know that
there.
Biden was going to speak later?
I'm sure she did. But I don't
did
think
she know what he was going to say.
Yeah. And then let's take a little flashback in time. I can't remember. This was before the inauguration, I believe. And you had Joe Biden. It may have been immediately after the inauguration. Here's what he and Jennifer Psaki were saying about vaccine mandates.
No, I don't think it should be mandatory. I wouldn't demand to be mandatory, but I would do everything in my power. Just like I don't think masks have to be made mandatory.
That she's hit a brick wall with trying to convince people to get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. Is that a sign that perhaps the federal government should step in and issue mandates? And if not, are you putting the needs of unvaccinated people ahead of the needs of vaccinated people?
Well, I think the question here, one, that's not the role of the federal government. That is the role that institutions, private sector entities, and others may take. That certainly is appropriate. Also, local communities are going to take steps they need to take in order to protect people in their communities. I will say we understand her frustration.
So there's that was the company line for the longest time.
Mm-hmm.
And now with at least 75% of American adults having at least one vaccine, That's the number they were shooting for, right? They wanted, they kept saying 70, 80% for herd immunity. Now, absolutely full blown, going after the unvaccinated. It couldn't possibly be because of the falling poll numbers, the 20th anniversary of 9/11 being tomorrow, and the absolute failure of a withdrawal in Afghanistan. It's just, it's absolutely unbelievable that anyone takes these people seriously anymore.
Well, it's, but, you know, I know where you're coming from about to diverting attention from Afghanistan, but this is just making a lot of people more anti this administration. I don't know why they'd want to do that.
Right.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're just pouring more boiling water on themselves,
yeah,
in a way, because of the way he's wording and phrasing everything, that the unvaccinated are taking us down. It's 847 FM Talk 106.5. Happy little ditty right here. FM Talk 106.5, 851. I think Sean's got the better bumper music.
In Don't say
Mobile?
That. Don't say
I'm
that.
Saying it. And I don't know if it's if he's hoarded all the good stuff or he smirks every day when he listens to ours and says, that's not, that's our B stuff right there. 852.
Well, all the important things going on in the world today, and they're in the back of our station here discussing Poison lyrics. How about that? People's priorities, Dan.
So I wasn't a Poison fan. Not a real rock and roll. Not, you know, it just wasn't my genre. But when he reported what the lyrics were in the fourth and sixth lyrics of stanza of a particular song,
yeah,
it's kind of vulgar,
mm-hmm,
and shocking.
Yeah, that's what the discussion's been like. Yeah,
it's kind of like, did we not realize that those were the words in that song? What song was it, by the way?
Once Bitten, Twice Shy is what he was talking about there. Huh?
Hey, by the way, it is Friday.
Thanks for listening, and a TGIF to you, my friend.
Oh, Lance, our man Lance.
Thank you, Lance.
Making sure that we know it's Friday.
TGIF, right? coming up on the Friday edition of the Jeff Poor Show in about 10, 12 minutes, U.S. Senate candidate Jessica Taylor will be on in the first hour.
Okay.
Also, usual Friday guest April Marie Fogle from Alabama Today. Third hour, State Representative Andrew Sorrell. And then wrapping it up with the returning champion, as Jeff likes to call him, State Senator Chris Elliott. So you don't want to miss the Jeff Poor Show coming up here.
You're sending the guy to running for auditor?
Yeah, Sorrell. That's right. One of the few that are running for auditor for this next election.
Rusty Glover?
Rusty Glover's in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a competitive race, right? Or at least a busy race
that's
to the auditor.
That's a tough race to run and to win because, you know, the state is old. There's a lot of counties in this state, a lot of people you need to get in front of. You have to, you know, kind of create some sort of name ID from one end of the state to the other, and it's a pretty big state.
Yeah.
And not only is the state big geographically, Dalton, it just is so different. In certain areas of the state are not that much like, for instance, Mobile down to the beach.
Mm-hmm.
We almost feel like a different state altogether.
Yeah, seriously. Jim in Georgetown with the quick correction, and he is so right. I don't know why I said Poison. Once Bitten, Twice Shy. Great White, the name, the band
that's
that
right.
performed that. Here's a text.
I didn't like them either.
This texter says, I'm not anti-vax, but since this pandemic started, I've done nothing different in my day-to-day life. I've worn a mask or two on occasions when around someone with a compromised immune system, but other than that, nothing. I haven't been sick and still know no one who has been sick or hospitalized. I'll say you're in the great minority on that one. I think most people at this point do know someone who's been sick at the very least. He also said, if you want the shot, take it, but it's an individual choice and government does not have the authority to mandate it. And now that's the big question. What authority does the government have? And I certainly think that was an overstepping of the authority yesterday.
Yeah, I think everybody is a little bit. And also, if we're already at 75% have gotten at least one of the vaccinations, one jab, Baldwin County's at 60% right now, the adult population.
For one jab, yeah.
For one.
And then Baldwin, right 56 and a half, something like that.
I have not seen a racial breakdown on this. And when I say that percentage of, for instance, if you say white and African-American, what amount, what percentage of whites, white people, Caucasians, have gotten the and have not, and the same in the African-American community as well. I would just be interested to know. Obviously, we know a lot of African-Americans have got a lot of pause about vaccinations, and we understand that historically. So, but what are the numbers?
Yeah,
I'm just curious.
And I would say generally, you know, that doesn't really matter generally. But what you have is
this
administration, you know, pointing the arrow.
Right. It matters if you live. It wouldn't matter some places, but it would matter in Mobile, where our population is about 50-50.
Right.
So I would like the understanding, the knowledge, who's getting vaccinated, who's not.
Well, you know, in Mobile, after this latest jump in cases over the last month or so, numbers are going down. But I'm interested and kind of scared, honestly, to see the reaction of the feds once in the Northeast, where you have some of these states like New Hampshire and Vermont who are very vaccinated. What about when they start seeing this rise in cases? Because mm-hmm. I think they will, and hospitalizations even. But look at Israel. I mean, they've got a very high vaccination rate, and they are one of the hot spots internationally right now for
incredible
cases.
So yeah.
We'll be keeping an eye on that. And also, can't forget, you know, 9/11 tomorrow. We haven't done a whole lot on it this morning, but the 20th anniversary coming up tomorrow. There was an event yesterday at Mobile Memorial Gardens in the Garden of Heroes, with Mobile Fire and PD were out there. Tomorrow you have that event at Battleship Memorial Park. I think the Tunnel to Towers 5K. They said they're going to shut the Bankhead Tunnel down around 7:30 tomorrow morning. The race begins at 8, and then the memorial service at 9:30 at Battleship Memorial Park. And a number of events happening elsewhere. I know in Pensacola they've got something going on. So we'll try to get those up on our social media pages if you want to check something out tomorrow for the 20th anniversary.
Mobile native. He was a Marine. He was an author. I think he was also Professor E.B. Sledge. Had some words about this nation that our friend Major Brad Israel, who's going to be the keynote speaker tomorrow at the 911 event at Battleship Park, he repeated to us yesterday on Mobile Mornings.
This country's good enough to live in. It's good enough to fight for. With privilege goes responsibility. And I think every generation needs to understand what that means.
Yeah, you were talking to Brad about passing along that fight, that understanding of the cost of freedom to the young people around us today. Do they really have an idea? I think often we dismiss younger people like they just don't get it. But, you know, there's a crop of people like Major Brad Israel in every grouping, in every class.
Yeah.
And his service kind of came out of the blue. And it was fostered in large part by 9/11. He was saying he was a sophomore at a school up in Virginia, and he was at a psychology class, and suddenly his world was upside down, and he felt this pull to serve. And he said up until that point, he never really had that sense of duty.
And let's pray that it doesn't take another 9/11 for so many of our young Americans to feel the exact same way that so many did on September 12th, 2001. Running out of a little bit of time here, I did want to point out a story I had this morning, just to be on the record. Kim Jong-un looking very svelte. He has lost a lot of weight. Kim Jong-un taking his health maybe seriously now. But the Olympics yesterday officially banning North Korea from the 2022 Winter Olympics. I think everyone's scared of losing to North Korea. That's why they keep banning them from the Olympics.
I haven't seen the pictures of the svelte Kim Jong-un.
Maybe it was just a really nice cut suit that made him look slimmer.
How's the hair?
Still terrible.
859 FM Talk 106.5. Dan and Dalton. See you Monday.